What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. The gang is back. We're going to talk a little bit of our favorite recruits. We got a little top five list we put together of kind of our guys we want to see in this class, guys that we know the staff is high on and will be targeting. And just, you know, if we could put a little top five dream recruits together. So we're going to give y'all that. And then, of course, we had the announcement of Zach Etheridge moving on to the Arizona Cardinals. So he's going to be joining Matt Merritt. You know, good problems, I guess. Good problems. You get a good staff. You know, you get two guys that go to the NFL on you. You know, you're doing something right. So just got to reload. And I'm confident in everything that's going on in Miami right now. We reload. So we're going to get into that, how I kind of going to hit the program and, you know, what we'll be looking to do to try to replace with some names we think or whatever. But, of course, it's your boy Larry. I got with me, as usual, the real Phil General X. Say what's up to the people, man.
What's up? We back, you know, talking recruiting, some coaching losses, possible additions of guys who we think could come on. But yeah, that's the off season. This is where it gets tricky, you know, recruiting, see who coach could go out there and do their thing. Obviously the NIL is a factor also, but you know, when you got a coach who put on the same loafers every day, you know what I'm saying? He mean business. So I ain't too much worried, man. And then we got, you know, the homie Chef Rob. He came in late because he was, you know, cooking up some. Nah, I don't know what he was doing, man, but
walking off.
About to go cook up something now, man.
Man, they gonna leave right in the middle to go cook something. Yeah, D Rob with us. He had to step away for 1 second, so we'll let him jump back in whenever he get back in here. Yeah. All right. So yeah, we got together. Like as a group and put together a list of players that we all had, right? And that we would love to get in this class, this, you know, because recruiting never stops. It's so crazy. Like, football just ended, season just ended, and immediately after the Natty, you know, them boys didn't even take time to lick their wounds. They was right on the trail. Mario right out there, Jack.
They working, especially the freshmen and the sophomores. The freshmen, the redshirt freshmen and sophomores, they doing a whole lot of the work. I guess the older guys, they kind of took off a little bit. You know, they working, but not as much as the younger class. But it makes sense, you know what I'm saying? Because the younger guys, you want them to get in shape and get that weight on, that experience early on before, you know what I'm saying, it's time to get busy for real. So, and it's funny because, you know, they was at the basketball game and Mario told Fitzgerald, like, hey, boy, you're looking skinny. That weight room. And then immediately you see the next day Fitzgerald in the weight room lifting weights. And you're like, oh, yeah, boy, he took what Mario said for real. I mean, but, you know, hey, coach tell you looking skinny. Mario ain't saying it. No, he ain't joking with you. He
like, yeah. Really, you better get to work. Get to work with it.
Right there, man. But
yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the thing is, Bryce ain't a huge guy. I think he listed at like 5'11 as it is. So,
well, no, Bryce is actually taller than that. It's just he's skinny. Like, Bryce is,
yeah, he's slim, about, right? Yeah,
about like, and like, so. And then I went at it with his cousin because his cousin was like, man, Bryce 195. I said, man, if Bryce 195. I'm a millionaire, so 175, like if that. And you know, that was, remember he came in late. Bryce didn't have no spring. He didn't have no summer with Miami. So as soon as Bryce came in, football season was getting ready to start. So I think an off season in the locker room is going to help him a lot, where he can get 10 pounds. I would hope that he could at least get up to 190. by the season start. If he does that, you might be looking at all. I mean, well, he should be preseason All-American already, but you definitely should be looking at an All-American safety if he could get up to 190, because now he becomes capable of putting his hat on somebody and, you know, not thinking he's not going to make the tackle. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he, you know, that was like everybody's worry about Bryce when he played, which he wasn't called upon a ton to, you know, we put him in a good position where he wouldn't be putting like a lot of one-on-ones to make those tackles. But that was his concern before he got there, and it continued to be a concern, but he never got really exposed in that way. At least not consistently. I'm sure as a player too, you could point to, but they put him in good position. So he just got to, you know, get that weight up. But like I said, he was in there getting to it, man. Yeah, I saw, you know, you saw all the young guys going in there. Seeing pictures of Chuck Rohrer and Gavin Mueller. You said Frederick Saintius or whatever. Yeah.
Hey, them boys putting in work. Coleman, them boys putting in work.
Yeah, yeah. Getting to it. You know?
Hey,
work don't stop.
One of my favorites, man, is the JJ kid, the safety.
JJ Dunnigan.
Hey, listen. I think that kid probably gonna play a lot next year, man, because he just got the body frame to be on the field right now.
He's definitely already built in the way you would want. So and then they speaking well of him. So anyway, back to the lecture at hand. So yeah, we kind of compiled a list, and we did basically, you know, kind of the crossover, right, of who kept appearing on all of our lists. So we'll start with
with the number one guy who we all want from Miami.
And that would be let me make sure we go. I think I was about to say it, so that would be who?
That's Nick Ladue.
Yeah.
Like, he's the number one. I mean, he's the number one guy on the board. For one, I guess him being local. For two, he's dynamic. He's a dynamic receiver. He's a dynamic athlete, but he's a dynamic receiver, fast, super fast. I mean, super, super, super fast. And the way he approaches the game, you know what I'm saying? He approaches it like a South Florida kid, where he thinks he knows he's just better than everybody else. Grew up a Hurricane fan, families, Hurricane fans. He's one of these, I don't want to say Malachi Toney situations, but he wants to be a Hurricane, you know what I'm saying? I know the process is going long for a lot of people, but yeah, Litton and them, man, he's a dynamic receiver, man. And if the way our offense has been playing for the last couple of years, and I'm not even talking about just Cam Ward and Carson Beck, you can go back to TBD just having receivers doing things on the field. So I just almost can guarantee that Nick is going to be a Hurricane.
Yeah. I had him up there. Again, you know, and it's funny, X, you always call it out. People soon forget about, you know, this narrative about us not letting, you know, not locking down the best wide receivers in South Florida. You know, obviously everybody like to go to JJ, right? You know, by now the story been told 100 times. Y'all, we was in it. You know, we was close. Out of his own mouth, he said right before we played him, he probably, if we was playing a little bit more like we was now, he would have been a King. Out of his own mouth. Didn't happen. Gotta let that one go. It just is what it is. But previous to that, I mean, I get what they're saying historically, where we missed out on the, you know, when you look at Jerry Jeudy, you look at
Calvin Ridley,
Amar,
Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper. Yeah, you know, it's a list, and it's fair. It's a fair list. So I think we still trying to shake some of that. And I think, you know, whether or not Lanier is regarded as the best, I think within the Miami Hurricanes fan base and within the football team, he's regarded as a top priority. And so I looked at it like that. Like, I think he's gifted. Great film. I think he's born to be a Cane. And I think it would be kind of a loss not to to knock this one down. This, but you know, the funny part is that was Derek Cooper last year. You know, like that's the craziest thing. Like we looked at Derek Cooper like this should be damn near layup. You know, the work was put in. All the I remember you know, who was the other running back out of Georgia that we thought we had a good little shot with? I think made his top three.
He ended up committing to Georgia.
He ended up committing to Georgia. Yeah. Can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but I remember when, you know, I was talking on the 26 account, even the Georgia fans were like, yeah, but y'all going to get Cooper. Like, I had a whole bunch of them responding to me like, nah, we got you, but yeah, y'all going to get Cooper. You know, the word out, y'all going to get Cooper. And it just didn't go that way. You know, we know Texas paying big money, and I'm sure that, you know, became a big deciding factor. You know, I respect that because at some point you do have to draw the line on the number. Like,
yeah,
for a kid who ain't played a snap of college ball yet, it's like, hey, man, you know, you just, it's not working, right? Like, you know, look at Ohio State, right? Outspent us, I believe Oregon outspent us, and Texas outspent us too. Several schools outspent us number one. That's another thing. Like, the haters are always trying to act like we the top spender. We top 10. We not the number one spender. Go find a list where they got Miami listed as the number one spender in NIL. You're not going to find it.
Not even close to number one.
We top 10. We around 7-8-ish. We like right behind Florida State, who spend more and lose more. So that go to show you, too, it can't just be about a dollar. It's got to be about evaluating where the dollars go, who to invest in, where to say, you know what, we're going to keep it moving, and where you say, nah, we gotta commit this dollar to this kid. This he like that, and this is just the situation we got to have. But when it comes to Lanier, I just feel like it feels like Cooper to me. So I just hope we bring it on home all the way in. You know, I don't know. X, you probably can speak to it a little bit more as far as how much do you think he just want to kind of go through the process? Like how
yeah,
long?
He wants to go through the full process. But it'll be a commitment before the season. But he definitely wants to go through the full process. You know, like I tell people, I say, man, a lot of these kids don't get to experience that. So I'm okay with them going through the process, going on visits. And
yeah, you know, for sure.
Because then you get mad if they commit to you and then they still doing it. You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
Out them to do it. You know what I'm saying? Before they
exactly, commit. Exactly.
So I'm okay with it. Obviously, yeah, I've heard some numbers that schools are throwing at him, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a money situation with him. But like you said, some of these numbers, you know, you can't not pay attention to. You know what I'm saying? They throw them numbers at you.
You got it. Yeah, you got to take a look. I'm never mad at that.
He's definitely saying all the right things about Miami. He loves Coach Kevin Bird. I mean, he absolutely loves Coach Kevin Bird. So. I mean, Kevin Beard. I don't know why I talk about Bird. Kevin Beard.
I was going to let you live. I don't know anything about who that played Bird. Didn't he wear 47? Too? No.
Yeah, he did.
They did wear 47. What was his first name, Bird? I can't remember his first name. Tall, dark skinned cat with the locks. I can't remember his name right now. He was all right, too. Damn, my bad, bro. I can't remember your name. But, yeah, so, you know, just I think all things around, I think he's one of the more dynamic wide receivers, and it'd be great to get him in this class.
Yeah.
Who you think top competition right now would be if you had to give, like, one other school you think might be pushing number two?
To be honest, Florida State.
Florida State
kind of got a little hold on them a little bit. Florida State is kind of doing their thing. You know, him and Coach Ice. Got a good relationship.
You talking Tim Harris Jr.
Yeah, Tim Harris Ice Jr. They got a good relationship. You know, he just got promoted to office coordinator, so that's big in itself. But yeah, Florida State.
I respect it.
They right there. You know, if it wasn't Miami, then you know Florida State would probably be definitely. The lead or something like that.
So really, yeah, we ain't got nothing to worry about then, because they gonna negative recruit themselves.
Yeah.
Once they start playing football, like, you know, that's what was funny. I saw a little clip and Mario was talking about like how they don't get into the negative recruiting, and you know, a lot of Florida State fans like, I don't know about that. And I'm like, but what y'all might call negative recruiting and the truth could be two totally different things. Like, hey, negative recruiting if, hey, have you seen Florida State play football lately? They're not that good at it. I don't think the coaching situation over there is very good. I wouldn't call that negative recruiting. That's just the truth. Yeah,
that's just truth, y'all.
That's just bringing it to the light. Hey, young man, you might want to think these guys, you know, if that's the way you want to go, I just let you know, if you go watch them play football, it wasn't very good last year or the year before that. You know, they had one good year. And that's just being frankly honest with you under this regime, and I think this regime. And if you call that negative recruiting, okay, I'll let you have that. I look at negative recruiting more like trying to reach for things that aren't very tangible and spread lies. That's it. Like when you start talking about, you know, like when they, like when we had the cloud over us, right? Al Golden called the cloud, right? Which he still did a good job recruiting. No, you got to get Al that. You know, people are telling they're going to kill the program. I mean, that's negative recruiting. I mean, when you actually making up shit to, you know, make it seem like it's something when it ain't. But
the other school in Gainesville that's lying to specific recruits talk about, Coach Mirabal was finna get plucked by the NFL, and like that'd be the dumb.
Yeah, right.
You talk about Mario's main man. We ain't talk about any other coach. We talk about Mario, the nigga who slept in the room with Mario sometimes. What? Like that was, once I heard that, and then I heard it was true, I was like, these people, they don't know. They don't know no better. Like that's bad to do against Mario, because once Mario hear about it,
right. Take it personal. And what LJ say? And I took that personal. You know what I mean? How you want to do it? All right, now the shit personal, and we got to handle it like that. But yeah, we'll move on to number two on the list. And by the way, D-Rod had to step away. He had an emergency pop up on him, and Meezy couldn't make it tonight. But the list is compiled from all four of us. So just so y'all know, that's how we came up with the list all together. We'll go to, let's see, who we got next. I'll keep it local.
It's another local kid that it's a must get. Like, you can't lose this one.
Right. I agree there. And, you know, and you look at, I think it'll be, I won't even say a position of need, because I really think we've been doing a good job. I think this kid going to get an opportunity to come and, unless he, you know, we do, like I tell people all the time, Mario runs a meritocracy, right? So if you better, you're going to play. That's just what it is. But, X, you mentioned the other day about like some guys we had already forgotten that you was like, keep an eye out for. Was it Demetrius Wilkerson?
Demetrius Wilkerson and,
what it was up?
Demetrius Wilkerson and it was, hold on, let me go back to that.
Yeah, it was because they were both. I remember when we recruited both of those guys, they kind of been playing basketball more, you know, big guys that could be out there playing tackle. They don't have a lot of football experience under them. And because I remember them talking about
Demetrius Campbell and Jaden Wilkerson.
Jaden Wilkerson. I about to say, yeah, I think I mixed the name up just in. Yeah, Jaden Wilkerson. Yeah. I remember hearing about Jaden Wilkerson this year. I was hearing a good little bit of good buzz about like his development. And, you know, these are guys that haven't played a ton of football. And so they're getting this tutelage. But the guy we're talking about, obviously, is Mark Matthews. Top three tackle in the country, I would say, right now.
Yeah.
You know.
If he was in Midwest or he was out of state, he'd be top one. I don't know that top three. Like, he should be top one. But
I mean – well, let's see. I might be robbing them of a little credit. Let me see what they got them. Yeah. Now, 247 got them number one. OT. Number two in the nation composite. And they got him number three in the nation composite. So, yeah, he got the respect put on his name, as of right now. So, right now, yeah, he's number one tackle in the country. He kind of remind me – a little bit of like flowers in his frame a little bit. I remember seeing Flowers one of the first time I saw him, and I saw him sitting down on the floor, stretched out like in the locker room or something, and he had no shirt on. And I was like, big dog ain't got like he ain't got no baby fat on him. You know what I mean? Like he carried his weight really well. Like, okay, this is a different breed right here. And I knew from seeing out the us NFL guy. And you know, he ended up going what top 10. The Giants, I think, took him out 8, 9 or somewhere up in there. That's what Mark Matthews kind of jumps off to me as initially, just physically. Kid from St. Thomas Aquinas, 6'6". They got him listed at 300, which is probably pretty accurate. I mean, I seen him just today actually running around out there at some camp.
At the Rivals camp. Yeah,
he's solid.
He's about 300 solid. Like you said, that's a great comparison because he got really no body fat on him.
No, man. No, I think you're going to get an opportunity. If we can get him in strength and conditioning, walk him up just a little bit to about a – he'd probably run around nice at 315, 320. And it still could be, you know, a possible starting left tackle for you. But, you know, credit to what we've done in recruiting, you know, I think, you know, luckily Francis Malinoa could come in, be a starting tackle. You know, he started on the right, and a lot of us thought eventually he moved to the left, but he just kind of found a home there, worked out really well, and playing right tackle all year. He's still projected to be a first round, if not a top, 15, 20 pick. I've seen a couple boys have him a little higher, a little lower, but first round for sure. And that's playing right tackle. You know, usually a right tackle could go a little bit lower because most quarterbacks in the league are right-handed, so your left tackle is a little more valuable to you in that sense. But, I think they've done such a good job in general. You know, you just got the number one tackle in the country this year, in Jackson Cantwell.
But yeah,
and I'm like, man, offensive line now went from one of our weakest spots. Like year after year, we had a bunch of guards trying to play tackle. And, you know, hey, they held up, they did their thing. You couldn't really be mad at them for what they did at a collegiate level, but they weren't ever built to even really be paying the position they were playing half the time. Like, we just had an O-line full of guards. There was no true tackles out there. We just had to make do after, like, you know, you had Chantrell, then it was a big drought really before you had a lot of good stuff. And then, you know, we had – well, yeah, Chantrell. Did Chantrell play with McDermott?
Yeah. Remember
that? That was the last time we – honestly, that was the last, good O-line we really had.
Duke Johnson last year was the last time we had our whole O-line actually that year went to the NFL.
Yeah, about to say everybody went. You even had Brandon Linder played.
Yeah.
Shit, man. He started Jacksonville, made good money. He was one of the top paid centers at one time. That was the last time we really had a NFL O-line. And now it's the expectation. So I think you take that, you know, the fact that he's local, the fact that we're winning, you take what we're doing, you know, you're going to get to see some guys get drafted this year. Cooper got invited to the combine. Inez Cooper did.
Markel Bell
did. These guys are going to get drafted. You're talking about, you know, two guys right there that'll be drafted. You got Miley Noah's going to get drafted first round. I think now, you know, this would be rolling up on year five. He now has proof of concept, and he's already has a great reputation as an O-line developer along with Mirabal. So, again, I think it's kind of a no-brainer. I think the love's there too, from his side. Would you kind of agree with that sentiment? Like he's
absolutely love. Speaks very highly of Coach Mirabal. Coach Mirabal, I mean, I have never heard anybody say anything bad about Coach Mirabal, besides him being short. But
I think that's great.
Yeah,
to be regarded as a top offensive line coach and be. What is he, 5'6", 5'5"?
I don't know if he that, man.
That joke a little, bro. Tiny and skinny, too. Like, he ain't even a little fat dude.
Yeah,
tiny little dude, man.
He speaks highly of him. He loves Coach Mario also, man. He thinks Mario is probably the best, one of the best coaches in college football. And then he does talk about, you know, staying local. He like, man, I guess it's, you know, the Malachi, I'm gonna go ahead and call it the Malachi Toney effect. You know what I'm saying? To stay local and become and build what Miami needs to be. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely, again, like I say, I don't think you lose this. You can't lose this. You can't lose this.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's other schools out there trying their best and stuff, but this is one battle that you absolutely cannot lose. Like, there's no way you are the head coach and the offensive line coach, and then you got another offensive line coach who was one of the top recruiters in the nation, and it's just no way you lose that battle. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, everything, I think all the cars, all, and I don't think the fluke title sticks to this team at all. Like, I think now the difference in Miami when Mario got here and today is we're now being spoken on in the way that Miami used to be spoken on, in that the expectation is for us to be good now. Like, you know, we all looked at the schedule early, right? I would venture that when they dropped that schedule, I mean, when they dropped the odds, which I haven't looked yet, I doubt they dropped them yet, but they may have. I'm pretty sure we're going to be at 10.5 games, right? Looking at that schedule and this roster. And that may not seem that much looking at the schedule, but it was a time we've had an easy-ass schedule too. And in our head, we're going, how the hell can we lose? You know, how can we not win 9-10 games with this damn schedule? And then we go out there and go 7-5. You're like, how in the hell did this happen? I think now there's a difference in what's actually being put out on the field, and it's an overwhelming feeling like, nah, they're going to be good again. Like, everybody, you can go look at anything right now, all the super early predictions, Miami and all of them, several of them we number one seed, you know, and I'm sure it has to do with the schedule, but they also think we just going to handle business with that schedule. I mean, you still got to handle business. I think it's easy as hell, but I've said that how many years about Miami football? Oh, this schedule easy. Oh, this schedule easy. Then Duke pop us. And North Carolina bust out here. And Georgia Tech sneak one past us again. And, you know, NC State take us down up through there. And it's just like, what the fuck? Now, I think the expectation is, I think we're expected to honestly dominate the ACC for the next couple of years as it is right now. Because if you look at the other big dogs of the ACC, Florida State, they in hell, right? They in absolute hell.
No, if they don't big dogs no more, that's G5.
Traditionally, I'm not today. Hell no. They are in hell, right? Then you have Clemson, Clemson's falling off. Let's just tell the truth. They just ain't been the Clemson they supposed to be. And it's crazy because they still got supposedly 3 first rounders.
Top 10 talent. They still got
touch. So what that gonna do? Make Dabo look that much worse. So believe it or not, y'all, I think we might see the end of Dabo pretty soon. It depends. He's gonna have to probably turn some around.
Like, if he have another year like he did again, yeah, they probably gonna get rid of him. They gonna be like, listen, you old, we gotta get something new now, because you're thinking about
the old. That's the truth. They may try to go get old boy from Virginia and bring him back. Tony Elliott. And may look to, you know, keep with some familiarity, somebody they know the Clemson way, but, you know, they may just feel like maybe a little younger, more innovative and whatever, you know, so they may go that route, right? So there's Clemson, which is, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Clemson's going to have a horrible year, but I don't anticipate, just off the rip without even looking at their schedule, I got them at 7-8 maybe, which ain't the standard for where they've been at, right? Yeah. And then you got SMU, I guess, you know, they making their mark pretty early on. But again, do you really believe in SMU yet? Especially without the Miami talent? You don't know yet.
I guess you could say they, for the last 2 years, they've been a candidate for ACC titles. So you kind of can put them in there because they've done it.
You know? Yeah, right. I think that, but I think it's still, You scared. You want to see it like one more year. One more year, then you'd be like, all right, SMU legit. We gotta start giving them
their. I just don't think they got the talent level. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you say top talent levels in the conference, they like second tier, third tier. You know,
right?
Like, talking talent level, you talking Miami, Clemson. That's one tier. You know, everybody else is
right, and then everything else falls out. And I'm gonna tell you before we move on to the next guy, or whatever. Virginia Tech is my school to watch now with Frank.
Oh boy, they got me kind of. I ain't worried, but I'm like, yeah, but
no, nah, yeah. I think we'll be safe as far as like. I think we're gonna be fishing at different ponds, but we know Franklin can recruit. He took basically that whole Penn State class, which that's the one thing he can do. His game day kind of come into question. Like Mario, he went the easy ones, but never really the big ones. That's kind of the opposite, where Mario went the big ones and tend to drop some of the easy ones or whatever. It's the exact opposite with him. It just went really bad this year, so they decided to go another direction. But yeah, you see what he did over there. I think Virginia Tech is poised to be the team to be like on our heels in the near future. We're going to see, because I think everybody else is kind of up in flux. We really don't know. If Clemson don't have a good year, I can see that melting up apart. FSU going to have a bad year. And so that leaves kind of just us to kind of take over. So that helps play in our favor too, especially for the local kids, because these local kids have it, even though they grow up, because they family, they dads, they moms, they older, they our age, right? So they grew up loving in Miami and being like, Miami was the shit. These kids ain't get to see that. So now they actually seen it. They seen us have a number one draft pick last year. They see us go to the Natty this year. Now it's become tangible. So, and I think the keeps on rolling. So, yeah, we're going to see. I kind of feel good in that recruitment as well. I feel like we got some good positive momentum there. But speaking of Virginia, actually, now I brought it up. The third guy on our list, I think he was on all of our lists, crossed over, was Noah Glover. Linebacker, 6'1".
Top linebacker.
Yeah, he's fired, man. I wasn't even super duper familiar with him until probably about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, he's the number two player in Virginia. Number nine linebacker and number 185 in the nation. Kid 6'1", 205. Out of, I ain't never even heard of this city, Haymarket, Virginia. Never even heard of it. But you know, you look at his offer list and you get why the excitement is around it. And I think he's a guy that, yeah, he's my top linebacker that I think we're in on that I'd like to see brought into this class. But like I just said, you got Franklin up there in Virginia Tech now. That's going to be a tough pull, I'm going to be honest.
Definitely going to be hard to pull because, like you just said, Franklin trying to do what we do, like keep that local talent home. You know what I'm saying?
And if you could do that in Virginia, like Virginia Tech has done in the past, you put a good damn good team out there. You know, it may not win your natty, but they're going to be tough. They're going to be physical, you know. You're going to play some damn good teams, and you're going to lose some games with Virginia Tech. You know, Virginia Tech was always a good old rival of ours, and I think it kind of fell off because the talent's falling off of them for a little bit. But, yeah, this kid got, you know, Georgia, Oregon, A&M. So you're not talking about some diamond in the rough. He's a kid that can play. You know, he's a modern-day linebacker. I don't think you could ask much more of him.
He like that. He's a sideline to sideline.
Sideline to sideline. Speed.
He's a downhill linebacker. You know, he's one of those guys where he go, you know, the coaches like when the linebacker meets a running back in the hole.
Right.
He's one of those guys. Yeah, man, he's like that, man. It's only one other linebacker I've seen with my eyes that I want as much as him, and he's from the state of Florida. So, but yeah, this kid right here, that Noah Glover, man, I'm like, Well, Mario and them could pull that off, or Ethan could pull that off, man. I'm totally happy.
Man. Yeah. I don't think he from Haymarket. He's from Haymarket, but yeah, he made all of our lists because I do think he's a hell of a linebacker. Like I said, everything you would ask, I think he diagnoses well, quickly, and just gets to the spot. And that's like, when you talk about all of the great linebackers that ever existed, most of all their speed came from their ability to diagnose. It wasn't just that they could just run really damn fast. Some of them can, but most of it is they just see what's going on, and so they're there. And when I watched him play, I was like, yeah, it's like he damn near got the playbook. Bro, get to it, get there, and get his man. So would be an amazing addition. I do think, yeah, he made our list because I think just, yeah, everybody just saw him as a top linebacker that we're in the room with that we're trying to pull. It's going to be a tough battle, though, because like I said, you know, you got to worry about, you know, Virginia Tech, I think, is an actual dog in this fight for sure. I don't have enough information to say where we rank with them, but I definitely would think Virginia Tech's up there. And then obviously we got Georgia. You know, Georgia been doing defense for the last decade or better. So, you know, they got guys go to the league. So they got a great, great track record there as well. You know, Oregon.
I hate going in with Georgia with linebackers, man.
Yeah. I don't think we beat them for a linebacker yet. Yeah. If I ain't going to lie to you. Come down to us in Georgia. I'm like, oh, y'all got it. Yeah, y'all got it. Matter of fact, wasn't on Rohan Marley nephew?
Cousin and nephew, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was his nephew. Yeah, wasn't he from Virginia too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Was he from Virginia?
If I'm not mistaken, I'm going to see if I can find I'm going to look it up while we're talking. Yeah, I'm almost sure bro was from Virginia and ended up signing with Georgia. his name escapes me right now, but nonetheless, you know, yeah, it ain't gonna be an easy battle, but I know they ain't gonna go out without a fight. So let's see if they can get it done, man. I'd be really happy to see them pull that one off as well. So we'll go to number four on the list for us as a collective. We have, where did my list go? I hate when it scrolled off on me and I was just looking at something. Oh, Jamar Thompson.
Local kid out of West Boca, 6'3", about 305. Kind of has, you know, the Amar Moten package on him. The only problem I'm having is I think the staff has to do a much better job recruiting, making him a priority instead of just saying, yeah, we're going to recruit you, but. You know, I think if they make him a priority, then we could lock him up. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it became another similar situation where I'm not going to just be like, oh, if they play in Florida, we got to get them. If they are of the caliber to be what. A true Miami Hurricane, the standard that was here previously, then yeah, we need to make sure we get them. And this just so happens to be, to me, another situation where you got it right there in your backyard. You got a teammate, you know, you just got off of his team from this previous season. And then, like you said, the body type, right? You know, look what Moten grew into. You know, we discussed it previously. I'm quite sure Moten was draftable this year. I think he's just looking to raise his stock some more. And part of me probably just feel like he got some unfinished business. Well, and, you know, it saddens me to hear you say that, but they should, to me, be super aggressive because those body types don't just fall off tree, especially in South Florida. You don't always have that big man like that with the actual size you're looking for, with the athleticism that you're looking for in the backyard. So when that's an opportunity for you to have that and that happens, you want to get it right because, you know, we've heard it so many times before, right? They're expensive. right? Like, look, we paid Simeon Barrow good money. I don't even know if Simeon Barrow made an NFL roster. Now, was he good for us? Yes, he was very good for us. He was instrumental in a lot of things we was able to do on a defense that struggled in a lot of ways. But Barrow was a good player at the collegiate level for us. You got to pay good money for them. And they know it. So they know when they go hit the market, they're gonna fetch top dollar. So you don't want to have to double back on a guy like Jamar. You want to be able to go ahead and get him in the fold now, get that love there now, build a relationship now, develop, retain, and then, you know, get him out there on that field, hopefully, if everything goes the way you're hoping for. But, yeah, for me, the biggest part of that was I'm going to have a hard time watching the big body interior defensive lineman from down here get out of here and then end up, you know, going to Ohio State. You know, we got lucky and pulled one back home, but it ain't easy pulling from Ohio State either, bro. Like, that ain't what you want to be. You don't want to be trying to fight that battle because, you know, you can be cool down here, right? Like Malachi, the man in the city, right? You see him at the Heat game and he threw out the first pitch of the baseball game, all that. That's dope. It's cool. But you can also kind of like be, you know, just a guy in the city too, because it's Miami. Well, Jeremiah Smith, a god in Columbus. You know what I mean? It depends on what you're looking for. I was told, and you might be able to attest to this too, I was told he can't go to the grocery store.
He can't, man. Like, he can't. They be having to hide him in like an unmarked car and stuff like that, so people don't notice him. Every time they see him, man, it's like, they go Jeremiah Smith, and they treat him like almost, you probably remember. You remember when LeBron got to he go to the NBA, and he got to the NBA, and they was treating him like that. Like,
yeah,
he's that, you know. So I think they get it kind of confused, though, the two. It's different for both, you know what I'm saying? Like, Ohio State, is it Miami? You know what I'm saying? Miami, we don't treat celebrities any different. We like, man, right, we see them all the time. You know
what I'm right, they're everywhere, right?
While Jeremiah Smith do come down here, it's like, oh, man, it's JJ.
Right, yeah, nah, yeah.
Up there, they don't see that on a normal. So it's like, that's Jeremiah Smith. Oh, they run and they closing stores and it's 100,000 people trying to get. But, you know, and then so now you see what Malachi is doing. We saying Malachi has become more of a celebrity in the city because of what he's done. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the city still, Miami, we still love JJ. Like, he come down here, you know, he show him love. Sure. But it's a difference from what Malachi is getting in JJ. You know what I'm saying? That's just, right. You know, you play locally, you're going to get the love, like,
but it's a control of, like, it ain't fanaticism, right? Like, it's like, you know, Michael Jackson. Like Michael Jackson.
Nate MJ.
Right. And it's like, nah, you gonna get love. You're going to get, you know, love going to be handed out in all sorts of ways. Like, nah, that's on the house. And, you know, nah, what's up? What up, bro? Appreciate you. You know. Appreciation, not total damn fandom where people just losing their damn mind. And, you know, I would never want that for myself, no ways. I'm like, bro, you still want to try to be.
Yeah, man. Just know, be normal sometimes. Like,
yeah, walk, be a damn kid. Nope. So, you know, again, just a guy that you want to make sure that we don't have to fight to double back and bring him home. I think he is a talent that should be prioritized. So they own him.
It's just, you know, when you come up with your list of stuff, you know, you got players that fit your scheme. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, having Heatherman, he's not from really down here. So, you know, he's trying to learn how South Florida recruits are. You know what I'm saying? He's never recruited South Florida before, so he's a Midwest guy, so you know he knows how the Midwest D lineman look. He's from, right, that's familiarity. But yeah, they on him. I just, like I said, I just want them to make him the priority. Like, he should be
right
number one, if anything, because he's here.
Right, so, right.
You know what I'm saying? But
you know, that's the one thing, yeah, you like take advantage of that. Yeah, they right in your backyard. That's the one thing you definitely want to try to, you know, take advantage of. And then again, in a position that it's just not that easy to find these guys like that, man. Yeah, the big body kids like that. You want to try to lock it down, and so hopefully I was going to ask you who would you look at right now as probably might top competition for his services.
I've heard Georgia, but I don't think that's going to be much because Georgia went and got like 5 D tackles last year, so I don't think it'll be a priority. You could look for, Ohio State, I've heard them, but I don't think them either. Texas, I think it's going to be a school where he wants to play like next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think like that's the issue. Him looking at my situation where, you know, you lose Moten and Scott possibly, or you could come in and probably play, if not start, stuff right. Like that. That's why I'm thinking Miami is going to be the best landing spot for him. But another school I heard was LSU. But this was before all the the coaches and stuff, Lane and stuff went there. So I don't know if LSU's still in it.
I got you. Yeah. Change of guard. They may not be.
Yeah, I know before LSU was definitely in it. Like, I was kind of like, dang, well, LSU going to probably get them because they like coming down here and get them the defensive linemen that we be having and stuff like that. So,
no doubt. All right. And then number 5. On our list, Honor Faalave Johnson. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that kind of right. We'll just call him HFJ. HFJ, 6'1". He a two-way player, but I think at college he'll be a safety.
Don't be a safety.
Yeah, he's he plays wide out as well. And honestly, I think he could probably play wide out at the college level. I think he could use some tuning up to take it to that next level. But I saw his highlights at wide receiver too, and I was like, shit. I honestly thought he was going to be listed as an athlete, and some coaches were going to try to figure it out. But it looks like, yeah, he's listed as a safety. I haven't heard much about him wanting to necessarily play wide receiver at the next level. So I'm assuming that's the game plan.
He knows he wants to play safety. That's the money position for. I mean, safeties don't get paid like right receivers, but
but the one you're gonna get your money in.
Yeah, he knows that's his position. In college football. Obviously, you know, with this new era of kids trying to play both ways, you know, he probably will try to do that. Not in Miami though, but. Yeah, he's a safety. He's a fly around the backfield and pick the ball off and
fast.
He'll come put that hat on you too. I like him. We'll get into that, I guess, in a little bit. But you know, we did lose a DB coach, but
right. Scrum out that way too.
Yeah. But the other coach we got, he does an excellent. Will Harris does an excellent job recruiting the West kids.
Yeah, well, is Will from out there too?
He gotta be, because that's when Will gets on the road. That's his first.
You get out of Cali. Let me double check. Maybe I'm mixing it up because I'm pretty sure Zach from out there, Zach Etheridge, which we're gonna talk about in a little bit. I believe it's from Cali. Let me see if Will Harris is out.
Will, he got to be from out there because that's always his first stop is out west.
Yeah. he might just know how to holler at them kids. Let's see. Will Harris. I found him. Where is Will originally from? I think I'm pretty sure he's from out there in Cali as well. But anyways, while I'm looking that up, you know, this kid is like number one. I really been liking how the Samoans been playing safety as of late. You know, the one of the best safeties of all time. He definitely top five safeties for me. Y'all already know who number one is, the GOAT himself, Ed, right? Like, there's no question. But, you know, Troy Polamalu, you know, which to me, Troy, like, tricky because he was, like, an undersized linebacker, man. He get everywhere, man. But yeah. dude was fast, physical, man.
Phenomenal, man. He's just one of those football players where you just put him on the field and, boom, we'd be like, dang, he did that?
Yeah. Right. He was just so physically gifted, man. And I think I see some of that with the HFJ kid. Will is from out there. He's from Pasadena. He played at USC.
Which
is good. So we got a good recruiter. And, you know, you're going out west, trying to do work out west. You know, we pulled much from Cali in recent years. I know we've done pretty well in the past. I can't think of anybody except for.
Dang, the last safety we pulled from Cali might be.
I just mean player in general.
Oh, you talk player in general? That's.
Vaughn Telemach was from Cali, right?
Vaughn Telemach.
Yeah, Vaughn was from Cali. Yeah, that's the last one I can really think of. But yeah, just players in general, some of the top players from out of California, and the way USC's spending, you know. No boy wouldn't have bought them a number one class.
Yeah.
I respect it, but
literally.
Literally paid for the number one class. It's not a place where I think we've had a ton of success at recently. Not it's been bad. I don't even know if we've been hunting out there super heavy, but you know, you gotta think you're fighting the Oregons, who, you know, they're paying good money out there as well. They've been playing good football, you know, ever since Mario, and once Mario left, it kept going. USC is spending top dollar, even though they kind of, you know, I think, again, this is kind of a do or die season for him because they invested so much in this program. Like, hey, man, you got to start winning some football games out here, and it hadn't been going down. But I think those two, I believe I actually saw something where those would be the leaders as of right now. But I don't think anybody in the Miami war room right now feels like we're not in this fight.
We definitely in it. Like
at
I said,
all, yeah.
Will goes out there, man. Will went out there to see him, man, and we definitely in it. I was gonna reach out to him, but I'm gonna wait till they come on a visit, and they visit gonna be like a 3-day visit. So that's big in itself right there.
He's just for reference, like I said, 6'1", 190, composite number one player in Cali, number one safety, and number 16 nationally. So you're talking about a 5-star talent too. So we shooting for the star, but again, we got the resume now. You know, the resume looking better and better. You know, the DB play look is night and day from the previous season, right? So you,
hey man. The way them safeties played, the DBs played last year. I don't want to be on that team.
No doubt. It can be something that could be very enticing for him to come and be a part of this. And you know, when you going, he's from Diego too, so I like that part, right? San Diego. I like the big city kids. I think that's one strength that plays well for us. So I think why we did good with like a Lightfoot and Justin Scott, Chicago kids, right? They're going to be much more enticed by a Miami, you know, versus Tuscaloosa. That's just not going to feel like the same exact vibes for them. So, you know, out of safety tape, you know, I'm not going to profess to watch everybody. I get why he's up there. I get why he's the number one safety. So for me to get this kid, you get not only number one safety, number one player all the way out there in Cali. So I think, again, it just speaks to the program. And talent attracts talent. And if you can go over there and get a kid like that, other kids start looking more and more and more like, shit, I might be putting something together over there. And we keep going, it could really be something. So, yeah, that that'll do our top five. We got, I think we'll both do an honorable mention, but we'll be right back. Quick commercial break, and we'll be back with the honorable mention. Yo, we back. Had to take a quick little break, but we back. Those are our top five. So real quick, we want to do an honorable mention. And this is basically like guys that didn't cross over all four of our lists. For me, and I was kind of surprised he didn't make everybody's list, it would be DJ Jacobs. Me and X had him down, but he didn't make the other list. And I remember, if you look back, it was a shock that he didn't pick Miami, number one, even though he's a Georgia legacy. Basically, I mean, the word we heard pretty much was Ohio State up the bag because, you know, they wanted to try to make it look bad. We got the last laugh. We got the last laugh on the field. And, you know, and we about to have a couple of first rounders, you know, shake some of that stink off. Now, of course, they are too. They've been doing that for a while now. Yeah, they going to do that. I ain't going to hold, you know, I ain't going to sit here and lie on the boy like that. They going to do that. But, yeah, I mean, you talking about a unit, bro. You talking about a man child, you know. You talking about a kid that I think he could come in and be the same way we was talking about Hayden. Low, I think you can see that same kind of buzz we was able to get him back over to the good guys. Come on, make that final say. You know, he said right away, too, like, that commitment is not solid. I tell you that right now. It is not solid. I think Ohio State paid them, you know, so they could have that moment. But we have had good success flipping from Ohio State. So that's the school I don't mind getting in the ring with. You know, if you look at some of our recent battles, them guys, you know, came out on top. So, you know, and then, again, premium position, premium body type. You're talking about a big kid, big, long, athletic kid. Yeah, already got size on him right now. So he probably number one on my list, but since he didn't make everybody list, I didn't put him on there, so I just did him as my honorable mention. But who would you say, X, would maybe be your honorable mention that didn't kind of cross over for all of us?
Dang, it's a couple of them, but I guess I have to go with so you went D defensive end. I'm gonna go with linebacker. I'm gonna go with Caden Henderson. I'm gonna go with Caden.
Okay. Henderson. Okay.
He's another linebacker that I've been keeping an eye on that I want with Noah. You put them two on the field together. I think it's gonna be hell to pay because both of them are some. They put their hats on you, man. I looked at Caden like a Jonathan Vilma type. Just intelligent, smart, fast, sideline to sideline, downhill. And, you know, again, he put that hat on you. You know, he's going to meet you in the hole. So, yeah, that's one who I'm expecting you to do everything in his will to get. And you know, this is a big year. This is a big year for linebackers because we need to recruit linebacker good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's my guy.
No doubt. And with Caden, who's kind of in up towards the top of the list for him as far as competition. Where he from? Out of Tampa, right?
Yeah. He's from Tampa. Yeah. Right now, I don't think we in competition with pretty much anybody. I'm hearing Miami is just the lead. So
the leader right now. Yeah. Let's see. He's what? Yeah. They got him listed 6'1.5", 213, number 5 player in Florida, number 2 linebacker in the nation, number 25 player overall in the nation. So you talk about elite talent there. And it's funny too, because yeah, like Glover made everybody list and he's actually ranked higher than him. So I thought that was kind of funny how he didn't make everybody list. But I just go to show you how, you know, sometimes just how you see a player and what you see him do out there. But yeah, that's an excellent pick too. We'll see. You know, I think the linebacker play for us has been solid. I think it's been pretty good. I don't think we've had the elite talent there in a while. I think we had some good guys, you know, that was able, you know, even, you know, we used to sometimes give, Kiki Mountain or hell sometimes for, you know, sometimes he would look crazy out there. But a lot of that was the defense itself. He still ended up getting drafted and going to the Jets.
And starting.
Yeah. So, like, you know, sometimes it ain't all, it's not always the players. A lot of times it can be the
same. Yeah, like, I get what you're saying. You're saying we haven't had that.
We don't have an Arvell Reese.
The Perriman, we haven't had that Beeson, you know, them.
Right. First round linebackers.
Yeah. We just ain't.
Miami tradition.
We've had Shaq, you know what I'm saying? Shaq.
Yeah.
But he was good. You know, we had Pitney good.
Right.
That, we just ain't had that. Like I say, Perriman. Like, you know, got Perriman.
And Perriman is one of my favorites, still playing in the league to this day. He's definitely one of my favorite all-time Canes. But, you know, if you look truly to what we've done in the past, where's our first round linebackers? Like, the undeniable, you got to have them, guys. And I think the talent level is getting raised in that room to where we could get there soon. But I think we still feeling out who these guys are and the cream going to rise to the top. So we're going to see. I do think we're a couple of years away from, oh, wow, look, Miami's got a first-round linebacker again, whereas they're that talented and they show up. And big part of it, you got to recruit. Got to get them in the building.
I kid you not. When I seen Keelan Wiley in high school, that's he's the guy.
he's my first name in my head as I was making that statement.
That's
who I'm thinking about. Got to see it, though. Got to see him actually get out there and do it. And so, that'll conclude that, man. So we're going to see plenty of time. We're going to see how things shake out. But we're going to pivot real quick before we get up out of here, man. Want to talk real quick. Obviously, like I spoke on earlier at the intro, Zach Etheridge. You know, it's kind of funny, too, is because even before he got here, I know y'all remember, it was rumored that Will Harris wasn't going to even show up for us. it was put out there that Will Harris was going to the NFL. He was never going to show up. You know, the Florida fans was happy, like, ah, ha, ha, gotcha, joke's on you. And the joke ultimately is on them because he still is with us and still coaching. So that was the funny part is Will was kind of expected to be the one to go. If anybody, and the next thing you know, it was Zach Etheridge, which blindsided me. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I knew he was interviewing. I didn't expect him to get the job. Because to be truthful, outside of I don't know why I always forget goddamn defensive tackle coach, man.
That's funny, right? And the funny part about that is he a Hurricane and all we want all the time. You think about Damian Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis.
Coach D. Lou, yeah.
Outside of D. Lou, I think all of the defensive staff outside of D. Lou and Coach Heatherman has had an interview.
Okay.
So I didn't expect Zach to be one. I did think, you know, JT probably would have said, let me go ahead. The Dolphins was available again. I did think Will Harris was going to go ahead and get one of those NFL jobs. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. You have a successful year with the type of season we've had. See, the difference is, like, I remember somebody was asking me about they were like, well, why the NFL ain't going after Indiana coaches? I'm like, man, it's a difference, man. Like, Indiana coaches, I'm not taking nothing from what they did. You know, they're coaching a bunch of grown men. No problem.
Right.
Look what Miami instantly did. Miami instantly changed the defense from a 60-something ranked defense to a top-5 defense.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And it looked very different. Like,
yeah, you had to
look. Shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it looked way different. It looked like we jumped from, you know, I tell everybody, I feel like we had the best defense in the country, right? Statistics aside, right? Somebody might be better in whatever little statistical category. We ain't lost by double digits in even 2 years, right? So even when the defense was trash, but that's because like, we had an offense that could pull off a lot more stuff. But this year, we weren't as, like, we didn't light up the scoreboard as much for, like, the first part of the season for sure. This year, it hinged very heavily on that defense. And, you know, it wasn't no doubt about that. And shout out to Coach Heatherman too, man. He got robbed, you know, because Indiana defense didn't get that much better. it was good. It was good, but, you know, they didn't get that much better. You obviously had the biggest turnaround, but they won it all. So that's how that ended up happening. If we won it all, you would have won it. You won it in our heart, Coach. We appreciate you, man. Great job. Great
happy
job
out there. Back, Coach. Happy to have you back, Coach.
Yes, sir. Hang out just a few more years for me. We can't play all y'all at the same damn time, man. But speaking of, so replacements. Y'all already know where I'm going. I'm going to go there every time. And I think at this point, there's a couple of reasons, right? Number one, he came. Number two, he already was on this staff with the current coach. And number three, he's done went out there and cut his teeth. Because I understood at the time why there would be some hesitation to give DVD, you know, the keys to the room, right? I understood that. He hadn't been on this level coaching at this level, really getting that experience out there. But he's done well enough for himself. You know, he went out there on USF. You know, those boys would go out there and have a good season. He did well enough for himself. That coach said, oh, yeah, you coming with me to Auburn, right? And part of that, I guarantee you, is his recruiting prowess. And so we have a familiarity. We have a local guy. And one area that I do, you know, I talked about how D-tackle, which you will find a lot of premium in Florida, is DBs. And so – you bring me my cane back in the building. Young guy, great recruiter. He's been out there. He's been playing. You know, he's been coaching at G5 level. Take it to the P4 level. Go to Auburn. I think Mario wanted him to cut his teeth a little bit more, and I thought that was fair. I get it. I don't think you miss on this opportunity again. If it's me, I think this is a great opportunity to say, all right, come on back home. We need you. I think he's a guy that you could probably keep 3-4 years, right? So that'll bring you some stability. One is his home. He's alumni, and he's still young in the coaching game, so he could use the additional experience in order to, if like maybe one day he wants to be a DC or a head coach or whatever. So I think it's a win-win for everybody. So that'd be like the number one, and I'm definitely not one of these guys that's like, oh, they can't bring him home. I don't think he should be Ed Reed. Ed Reed ain't been coaching college football. Ed Reed is the GOAT to me. I don't think he should be coming in to be our DB's coach right now. It's a different thing. It's a different grind, and you got to have a certain mentality. Even when he was with us before, you didn't even hardly see Ed at the time, like when he was the – what was he? When he was working with Manny. Yeah.
And Ed Reed.
Basically, it was like it's Ed Reed. So yeah, that's my A1 number one pick. Who would you know? And again, this is wish list day because me and X talking about this a little bit. Sorry to cut y'all, but me and X talking about this a little bit before pre-show. It's hard to guess what Mario gonna do, bro. So y'all can quit asking X who the coach is gonna be. You find out. When we find out, that's something you can keep on the wraps well, man. So, but anyways, go ahead, X. Who might be
my number one guy is the same guy every year. But I'm with you with the DVD situation. I would love for that to happen, not only because he's a Kane, but because he's just an all around general great guy, man, great individual. And he's an excellent recruiter. Not only does he recruit his room, he recruits the entire team,
right?
We've gotten players that didn't play DB because of DVD. You know what I'm saying? So I would love.
Also, and look at his son.
Yeah.
So big. He's taller than him.
Looking like 6'5", man.
Yeah, that boy big, man. He probably gonna have to put his hand in that dirt, man.
He growing.
I mean, he could be like, what's bro that went out to LSU? He's big old Pickett.
Oh, Pickett, yeah.
He could be a Pickett. We'll see. We'll see how his body develops.
Just by saying Pickett, my number one guy is Corey Raymond, always.
Corey Raymond, yeah. I like Corey, man. He's such an LSU staple, though, right? And he did come this way before. He went to Florida.
Well, he wanted to be at Miami. Corey did want to be at Miami.
Okay.
I think when he was trying to come to Miami, he wanted to be like, he didn't want to be the DC, but he wanted to be like co-DC.
Co-DC, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think Mario was going to give him that at that time. But yeah, Corey Raymond is in the school in Gainesville tried to play him, talking about, oh, he washed. And I'm like, he's still landing top recruits at LSU. And he's still doing a good job at LSU coaching DB. So I don't know. I would love for him to come, man. That's my guy.
Yeah, Corey definitely up at the top of the list for me. It's just a matter of can you make it happen is the thing, you know. And the thing about Corey Raymond, too, is like, Corey, like, 56, right? So it's like, but his track record is impeccable, right? Like, he just gets the guys, man. And these guys come in and they, you know, he gets the caliber of players they want. And then these guys go on and become NFL players. So it makes it that much easier to put respect on his name. So, you know, yeah, he got to deal with Lane now. That could be a personality clash. We'll see. You know, it's a different thing. He liked the furniture down there. He liked Odell at Florida State. He kind of come with the job, right? But, you know, to your point, like him wanting to be a Cane and come work down here with us would be a beautiful thing. I don't think it will happen. But I'll be ecstatic if it did happen. That'd get me ear to ear with it, man. I would love to see Corey Raymond come in, and especially now, because now you got the actual resources to make things happen. Like, remember when we had Tavares Robinson, like T-Raw, right? T-Raw is damn good in his own right, too. But I think he had one hand kind of tied behind his back because we just wasn't that good. So it's hard to sell the product. You know, at the time right now, I think we got a great product to sell. So if you could take a guy like Corey Raymond, bring him to Miami, and what we're doing right now, the resources behind it, and what's actually happening, yeah, it looked different. It looks a lot different. It's a lot more enticing. So we'll see. Hopefully hit him up. I'm sure you at least give him a call, check temperature, see if, you know, I definitely see everybody can't work for – Can't work for Mario, but everybody can't work for Lane Kiffin either, bro.
Hey, I ain't even gonna talk about it.
I think they're gonna win because he ain't got the recruit.
No, I think they're gonna win. They not gonna have a problem winning. I just think it's gonna be some personality.
Some extra shit, yeah. I do think.
With the players. I don't think with the coaches. I think with the players.
Right. Yeah.
You able to go to Ole Miss and be in full control of it. You can't do that at LSU because LSU been LSU before you got there.
Right. So, yeah. That's fair. We'll see how it all shake out, man, ultimately at the end of the day. It'll be interesting. But I think just one more name for me, and it's a name you probably don't really hear a ton of, at least recently. But he was a name attached to us before, Ishmael Artisai. He's out of A&M right now.
Well, he actually did coach for us.
That's right. With Manny, right?
With Diaz. Was he with Diaz or Rick? He was with one of those guys, I think.
I thought it was Diaz. I think Diaz hired him, if I'm not mistaken.
Diaz with Rick, too.
So. With Rick, yeah. So it was like that same window. But I think it was after Rick left and we went and knocked on the door down the hallway and said, hey, you want a job? I think he was the one that actually ended up hiring them. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. And again, you talking about a Miami native. So you got some homegrown vibes going there. He's also kind of regarded as a great recruiter himself. He's doing that at a high level over there at Texas A&M. So, you know, especially when it comes to DBs, I personally won't, and we'll see because it's Heatherman now too, so we got to see how this go. I want a black man recruiting my DBs. That's just what I want. I'm gonna tell you what it is. You know, I prefer him a little bit younger. Corey Raymond's a legend, so he's obviously the exception to the rule. But that's another reason why Ish would be at the top of my list as well up there with DVD. Give me a young black dude, especially one from the city, you know, with ties to the city to get out there and really recruit and get in them living rooms. And I think the success rate will continuously get better. So yeah, that's my other name. You got one more before we get out of?
Doug Belk. He got picked up by the NFL. That was my other guy who I wanted.
Where did he go?
I think it was the Arizona Cardinals.
Man, they got everybody, huh?
Yeah, I think it was the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona ain't fucking all.
it was somebody. No.
I'm checking it right now for you. I'm checking it right now. Broncos, Denver Broncos.
Okay, Broncos. Yeah, he went. Which was his ultimate goal?
Yeah, that's an easy job. He got a damn easy job. Yeah. With them DBs.
He got some of the best DBs in the NFL.
You might well strike Doug from this right now.
We ain't got enough. We ain't got enough for him, man. I don't care if we offer him.
Yeah, we have to make him co DC, which he was before. At like Houston, right? When we really try and get them a few years back. So it would make sense. It would make sense. So if they're willing to, you know, crack the wallet open, yeah, he might swing back around. You know, again, Mario going to take that shot. He going to make that call and say, hey, what it's going to take? You know, what's your interest level? Can we get you down here, you know, interview or whatever? And I heard a dude, what's his name? He ended up working for him at FIU. He's Cincinnati head coach right now.
Oh, you talking about? Yeah. He had to talk about the hardest interview.
Hardest interview you ever had. That was interesting as hell to me. The bro said he would interview all day, and he said he turned him down too. What's his name? I know his damn name. I was at the hardest time. Scott Satterfield, which they did end up working together, he said, later on. Yes, we had a little issue right there at the very, very end where X couldn't hear me, so I had to chop it right there, but we were wrapping up anyway. So, yeah, the last name on his list, which, again, we'll see, could get interesting, Doug Belk. See if we can swing back and get Belk on the line. And see if that ends up working out for us. But anyways, appreciate y'all pulling up. This has been another episode of 26 Degrees. We will be back. Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.